I'm going to continue on the subject of Thanksgiving. There's so much to say. I don't think Thanksgiving message should be just a one-time Thanksgiving message. It's such an important message for us to live. Hallelujah. Matthew 18:23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to set accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold as a slave with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him all debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down on his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what has been made, they were very grieved and came and told their master, the king, all that has been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. The question is, what does this subject on forgiveness has to do with Thanksgiving? Last week, I was preaching on forgiveness, and Holy Spirit convicted me this week and has been throughout the week speaking that many people have learned the principles of thanksgiving, like saying thank you, but really they have not experienced the revelation of thanksgiving. We have a question that arises. Why do so many rich people who don't even know God, yet they have a happy life and have a successful life? And the question I've always asked, why don't they know the principles that we learn in church, yet they live them? You can learn the principles in church, or you can live the principles. And what happens most of the time in churches is people come to hear about or learn about the principles of the Bible, but yet they don't put them to work. And that's why the world look at Christians as low-level people. They look at us as weak people. They say, well, you couldn't make it in the real world. That's why you came and became a believer. Why is that? We have the principles. We study the principles, endless hours of principles, Bible studies, home churches. We go to different meetings, TBN, different places. We order tapes online and listen to sermons online, and we learn the principles. But why isn't our life changing? Why isn't it changing? Because some people live principles. Some people learn principles. We want to be the church that lives out the principles that we learn. You know, the Bible says that people who are hearers are not doers, are not worthy of God. They're not going to receive anything from the Lord. Person not only must hear, but must be a doer of the word. Because the person who hears only lies to his own self. The person who only hears deceives himself, because you think you know and it should work in your life. But unless you do what you know, it will never work in your life. Just because you hear good sermons all the time, unless you begin to practice them, the principles, it will not work in your life. And that's why many people come and just learn more principles, thinking the more I will know about something, the more I will be successful and happy and peaceful and joyful and loving. No, you won't. The knowledge puffs up, Bible says. Knowledge makes your head be big, but it won't work unless you practice those principles. You can know everything about gifts of the Spirit, prophesying, healing, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. But unless we practice them, it won't work. God says He wants us to get back to that. Not just be hearers. Not just be hearing about worship, how important it is and what it can do for you, but be doers. Same thing with thanksgiving, and that's where I'm going. We must not be learning only a principle of thanksgiving. Psychology tells us that being thankful is good for your mental health. But if you only know the principle and don't have a revelation, it won't do nothing for your mental health. You can just be thankful politely. In modern culture, people are polite. We have this art of niceness. We've perfected the smile. But see, thankfulness must be a heart condition. It cannot be only a principle. If I say 10 times a day I'm thankful for something, I'll feel better and be more happy. Although it has something to do with it. I actually studied in one of the psychology writings, but it said that if you smile, you will make yourself feel better. So I would walk and smile, and I feel crappy inside. But I would smile, you know. But unless the principles don't work, they get you excited at the moment. You know, when you read something new, and you find out something new, well, I'm going to do it. So you're really happy. But then, if you don't practice a joyful heart, if your smile does not come out of a joyful heart, it doesn't work. So we must receive today a revelation about thanksgiving. The principle of thanksgiving. But that's only going to be half of the battle. The next half would be practicing. Let's look at this scripture. It says that a man owed 10,000 talents. Another man owed 100 denarii. Let's say you bought a house, a $1 million home. And your business was doing good. And you were happy. Maybe you weren't making it, but you were trying to show off or whatever. And you borrowed the money. And what happens was that person bought that house, but now he's behind on payments. He's about 8 months behind the payments, and the president of a bank calls him and says, listen, I'll give you 1 more month. If you don't pay, that's it. I'm going to have to take your house. They give you a warning, right? Or a few. Then he finally calls him up and says, listen, I'm going to have to take your house, your car, your plasma TV, your computer, everything. I'm going to take everything. And I'm going to take your savings fund for college. You know, you have to pay me back. So this poor person, he falls at his feet and says, listen, please, just give me 1 more month. And he said, no, I won't give you 1 more month. But I'm going to do something better. For some reason, you touched my heart. And he says, I'm going to do something I never done before. I'm going to forgive you all of the debt. Isn't it nice? Hallelujah. So this person probably said thank you to the man as a politeness. Not as a heart condition. Notice what the story tells. He went and sought out or found. He didn't just meet him on the road. He sought him out. He looked for him, somebody who owned him $1,000. Instead of going and making a party. I mean, a $1 million debt has been forgiven. Instead of going to your neighbors and saying, debt free right here. This house, debt free. Eat your heart out, everybody. Debt free. We're going to have a good life. He didn't even go and talk to his enemies. My debtor, forgive me all my debt. That's the question. Why doesn't he go and brag a little bit about it? What is going on in his heart? You probably heard last week's sermons. I said, if only my wife was better, her husband was better, then I would be thankful to God. If only I had a better job, I would be thankful. If only I had a boyfriend or girlfriend, I would be thankful. If only I had better kids, I would be thankful. If only I could take a vacation, I could be thankful or I could be happy. Notice this man had everything forgiven, yet his heart does not change. If I had my house forgiven like that, I would forget about you for a while. Even if you did owe me money, I'd be like, forget you now. I don't want to think about her for about 2 weeks. I just want to soak it in. I want to be so happy. I want to be dancing. But notice this man doesn't do that. He goes and finds somebody who owes him a little bit and starts choking him. Hey, where's all the joy went? It was never there. Where's all the thankfulness? It was never there. Where did all the goodness went? Softness of the heart. Where did it all go? It was not there. Many people think that as soon as they get somewhere, they will be happy. But you can choose to be happy or not to be happy. Why was he like this? And usually when we're not thankful for what we have, we blame God and people for what we don't have. So he lived his life saying, if only my relative or neighbor would pay me $1,000, I wouldn't be in this mess. If only my wife would obey me, I'd be happy. If only my business would go a little bit more, I would be really happy. The heart of an unthankful person, if only, I would be. If only this, I would be this. But it's not true. Because it'll never be enough. There's always going to be something else. So I believe he was blaming. He had this bitterness and anger for his own problem towards the man who owed him $1,000. $1,000 wasn't going to pay his bills. $1,000 was just a 0.1% of his problems. But notice, 99.99% was his issues. And that's why Jesus said, you see a speck in your brother's eye. Your problem is a speck. And we were listening to Dr. Laura. We have her books, but this is the first time I heard her. And a family called, husband and wife called. She said, we just got married. He's 45, I'm 32. And my husband totally changed. He just totally changed. He became angry and stressful. And then she said, because of his job, he became angry. Because he has such a stressful job. If he has a better job. And Dr. Laura, she just ripped him apart. She said, the reason he's angry because he's got character issues, not because of his job. But a lot of times people see that speck of a problem in somebody else instead of dealing with your own debt. A lot of times wives or husbands, they see this little speck in their spouse. And they go and they get angry, and usually that speck grows. Everybody has imperfections. And if I look hard, I'll find yours. The reason people overlook imperfections is because they have a heart of thankfulness. They're more thankful for 99.99% and choose to live a happier life than focus on 0.1% of imperfection. And this is what this man was doing. And young people, you need to listen to this because you don't know what you got till you get married. Now just wait till you get married. And so what happens is this man had bitterness in his heart. It was always somebody else's fault. And so, I mean, you got to be kidding me. Being forgiven $1,000,000, debt-free, and going and choking somebody for $1,000. There's something mentally wrong there. But guys, many people who are unthankful seriously lose their mind. Maybe you don't say they lost their mind. Maybe they don't act all crazy. But when they're in their moods, this guy choke the man. I mean, where was his politeness? Where was his niceness? Where is this? He came and just grabbed him and choked him by the neck. And this guy did the same thing. He fell at his knees. He wasn't saying, I won't pay you because now you got your debt forgiven. He never said, well, you got forgiven. You should forgive me. That's why the guy got angry. No. He just said, you give it to me now, and grabbed him and put him in prison. And that's a psychology, people. That's a psyche of a person. We either choose to live by faith or we choose to live by this negativity. And faith is living, believing in good things. That's what faith is. You never believe for negative, do you? Have anybody ever used faith to receive something bad for themselves? I don't think so. Let's keep going and I'll prove it to you. Unthankfulness makes a person have a debased mind. Open to Romans 1:28. We have so much, but the little things we don't have yet, we just make such a big deal out of it. And that's why we can't enjoy life. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave him over to debased mind, to do things which are not fitting. How do you hold God in your knowledge? And how do you not hold God in your knowledge? Because if you hold God in your knowledge, you'll have a good mind. If you don't hold God in your knowledge, you'll have a debased mind. Let's go back to Romans 1:21. And it'll tell us how to have God in our knowledge.
Because although they knew God. See, knowing God doesn't make you have Him in your knowledge. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him or were thankful to Him or worship or praised Him. That same word, praising God is being thankful to Him. Worshiping God is being thankful to Him. But up here it says, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. If you are not thankful, what will happen to you? Exactly the same thing that happened to this man who was forgiven $1 million. You would think a normal human kind mind would go and just be glad and have a party at home and gather the neighbors and just be so thankful to this king who forgave. But notice something happens to his mind. Because he didn't become thankful, this man, God gave him over to debased mind. And he became crazy. He lost his mind. I mean, grabbing somebody by the neck and just being angry. And then throwing him into prison when you just had. But that's how we act when we are not thankful. He says, professing to be wise, they became fools. Unthankful person is a fool. Unthankful person is a fool. I want you to get not the principles, but revelation of it. Unthankful mind makes foolish decisions. Professing to be wise, they became fools. We look for something more. And we think it's a wise decision, but it's foolish. Why do we need a brand new car? If we can afford Honda, why buy Mercedes? But see, unthankful heart says, if you buy a Mercedes, you'd be happier. And the first day you drive off the lot and the deal is over, no way back, you realize how unhappy you are. You just lost. Just by driving off the lot, you lost $5,000. And you thought you were wise. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have nice things, but I think if we look at life from a thankful point of view, I think we will make different decisions. We will make wise decisions. The man who was forgiven $1 million had a mindset, it's never enough. It's never my fault. And if somebody else would do their part, I wouldn't be in this mess. He was going to pay one-tenth of his problems, but it wasn't his problem. A lot of people say, I'm not a worshiper because I'm a rough man. I just can't worship. I'm rough, you know. I'm not soft like you girls over there worshiping young people. You know, I'm rough. I don't worship God. That's not me. Worshiping God is just being thankful. Praising God is just being thankful. That's another word. Once there was an old and very wise man. Every day he and his granddaughter would sit outside the gas station in his rocking chair, waiting to greet tourists as they would pass through his small town. One day a tall man, who surely had to be a tourist, began looking around as he were checking out the area for a place to live. "So what kind of town is this?" he asked. The old man replied, "Well, what kind of town are you from?" The tourist said, "One where everybody is very critical of each other. It's real negative place to live." The old man said, "You know, that's just how this town is." Later, a family was passing through, also stopped at a gas station. The father stepped out and asked the old man, "Is this town a good place to live?" "Well, what about the town you're from?" the old man asked. "In the town I am from, everyone is very close and always willing to lend a helping hand. I really hate to leave it." The old man smiled and said, "You know, that's a lot like this small town." After the family had left, the granddaughter looked up and asked the grandfather, "Grandpa, how come when the first man came, you told them this was a terrible place to live? Yet when the family came, you told them it was a wonderful place to live?" The old man looked down into his grandfather's wondering blue eyes and said, the granddaughter's blue and wondrous eyes, he said, "No matter where you go, you take your attitude with you. And that's what makes it terrible or wonderful." Thankfulness is an attitude we all need to have today. And I know maybe your uprising was hard. Okay, maybe you went through and you feel like if you're not in control, if you're not stressed all the time, nothing is going to get done. If you feel like you're going to be thinking all the time, people are going to think you're proud or whatever thoughts or ideas that you have. One thing I want to tell you from last week, that 20% of people in the richest country in the world are mentally sick, cannot function. And 81.5 in Manhattan who tested had some kind of a mental illness. They could still function, but they had phobias, fear, stress disorders, depression, different kinds of disorders, anxieties disorder, and all kinds of things. The reason is because we focus too much on what we don't have. Instead of saying, God, I am happy. I am happy. I don't care how I feel. I'm thankful. I got my family. I got my church. I got my job. I got so many friends.